WMAL News at 7. Good morning. I'm Heather Curtis. The Johnson & Johnson vaccines coming to an arm near you again. An advisory panel recommended lifting the pause on using it even after finding more blood clots in women who got it.
These 15 cases were in females, and 13 of the 15 were in the 18 to 49-year-old age group, the remaining 250+.
Dr. Tom Shimabukuro is a CDC vaccine expert who spoke to the advisory committee on immunization practices. The panel did recommend adding a warning to the vaccine for all recipients of it. While three women died after receiving the vaccine, most members of the panel stressed that it is still considered safe. These are 15 cases out of more than 7 million people who've received the vaccine. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News. The advisory panel's decisions prompting Virginia to allow use of the J&J vaccine again immediately. The state's vaccine coordinator, Dr. Danny Avula, says the extra scrutiny should instill confidence in the system that's in place to guarantee COVID-19 vaccine safety. We're learning more about the shooting of a black man by a Spotsylvania sheriff's deputy Wednesday morning. Last night, the sheriff's office released the 911 call Isaiah Brown made and the body cam footage of the shooting that left him in the ICU. He told the dispatcher his brother wouldn't let him in his mom's room to get his car keys and...
What is the problem?
I'm about to kill my brother.
You don't kill your brother.
All right.
Why would you say something like that?
Come on, sir. Somebody need to come here real quick.
In the video, you can hear the deputy screaming, "Show me your hands," and telling him, "Drop the gun." The deputy screams at him to stop walking towards him. You then hear gunshots. The Cochran firm's representing the family and says the officer mistook a cordless phone in Brown's hands for a gun. Robert E. Lee High School in Fairfax County is now officially John R. Lewis High School. After a dedication ceremony yesterday, Fairfax County Public Schools Superintendent Dr. Scott Brabrand.
It is fitting that we have named the school after a man who has spent his lifetime and spent his lifetime standing up for what is right, dedicated to the pursuit of equality and justice for all.
The school board voted last July to remove the Confederate general's name from the school and replace it with a civil rights icon's name. Gas prices are up nationally, but so far we're not feeling that here.
The national average price for a gallon of regular gas is $2.89. That's up 3 cents from a week ago, according to the AAA. Locally, gas prices range from $2.83 to $3.01. For the first time in history, the price of crude dropped in a negative territory earlier this week, but rebounded to close at $62.14 a barrel on Friday, roughly $6 lower than a week ago. Maria Lee, on WMAL and WMAL.com.
WMAL Sports, the Wizards beat the Thunder 129-109 for their seventh straight win. The Nats lost 6-0 to the Mets. Traffic and weather next on WMAL. WMAL traffic, here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
In Roslyn, watch out for some accident activity now on 29 Lee Highway at Lynn Street. Watch out for lane closures and police direction there. On the outer loop of the Beltway after the Legion Bridge, getting reports of a disabled vehicle along the left side, but looks like that may be confined to the shoulder. In Sterling, you will still find that Sterling Boulevard is closed in both directions between Shaw Road and Glen Drive due to an accident. Now from GarageStoryPair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
A little bit on the chilly side this morning, but temperatures will warm up into the 60s this afternoon, thinking mid to upper 60s. Clouds, they will be on the increase through the day, and rain will become likely as we head towards the late afternoon and evening. Now, rain will continue to be likely overnight tonight, lows back into the 50s and 40s across the region. For your Sunday, rain should exit, and skies should clear by early tomorrow morning. We'll call it partly cloudy by tomorrow afternoon. Breezy at times, winds upwards of 30 miles per hour, high temperatures in the upper 60s. I'm 7 News meteorologist Alex at the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
105.9 FM, WMAL.
Hour 2 of the Saturday morning update. I'm Rick Fowler. Glad you're along with us. And John Gizzi's with us every weekend. He is the White House correspondent and chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. John, good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
D.C. statehood clears the House of Representatives. Give us a little background on that effort to get statehood for D.C. and then the prediction as to where it may go in the Senate.
Well, very simply, this is an issue that has been on the books and in debate in Congress for decades. Members of Congress, primarily on the Democratic side, say that the District of Columbia should be a state, that it should have two U.S. senators and a representative at large, and enjoy all the benefits of statehood. For example, that people who pay taxes get to vote for leadership and even have their own state government. Not so fast, Republicans say. They point out that the enthusiasm for Democrats for this vote primarily comes from the fact that the District of Columbia is 90% Democratic, and that they would not make such a case, Republicans charge, if this was an area that was, say, 90% Republican and sure to send Republicans to the House and the Senate. As you note, it has passed the House. It's now going to the Senate, where several Republicans, almost every Republican, in fact, and several Democrats, have questions about the constitutionality of a state of the District of Columbia, or as it will be called, if it ever achieves statehood, the Douglas Commonwealth, after the great civil rights leader, Frederick Douglass. They note that the District of Columbia is already spelled out and defined in the Constitution, and it's not a state there, and it thus is not entitled to senators and representatives. In addition, there's also a movement among senators of both parties to simply have the District of Columbia absorbed into the state of Maryland, which already has two Democratic U.S. senators. If that were the case, they would achieve the same benefits of statehood as everyone else and pay Maryland taxes as well. In any event, there are so many nuances to this. The debate has been so long held in the past that in all likelihood, the Democrats and the sponsor of this bill will not get to the magic 60. That is the number of U.S. senators needed to end a Republican filibuster and get a straight-out vote for statehood. So statehood will be where it has been for years, in limbo.
You know, typically checkout time is 12 noon, but checkout time has been even earlier than that for Republicans leading into 2022. Two more out this week. What's going on?
Well, remember, we are 17 months away from the next elections, the midterm elections of 2022. So it is odd to see members, as you put it, Rick, checking out at this point. The fifth and sixth members, Republicans all, to say out of here, are Steve Stivers of Ohio and Kevin Brady of Texas. Congressman Stivers, who represents the Columbus area, is a former chairman of the National Republican Congressional Committee and someone who was seriously looking at a U.S. Senate race. He knows how to raise money. He's got nationwide contacts, a good military record. He looked like a strong candidate. But he opted for the money, that is, money coming to him. He accepted the position as CEO of the Ohio Chamber of Commerce. And quite frankly, offers like that don't grow on trees. In the case of Kevin Brady, he's been in the House of Representatives for nearly a quarter century. He rose to be the chairman of the Tax Writing Ways and Means Committee for two terms and was its ranking member for another term. Now, under the rules of Congress, he has to step down from the helm of Ways and Means, and he decided at 65 it's time to go home. I might add that both of those seats, those of Congressman Stivers and Brady, are almost impregnable as Republican bastions. But it is a bit odd to see this early such powerful and long-standing members heading for the exit sign.
Former President George W. Bush has a new book out. He's doing the circuit and being met with some interesting response.
He certainly did. Now, remember something. It's been 12 years since George W. Bush headed back to Texas with near-record low popularity. He was actually booed at the inauguration of his successor, was blamed for intervention overseas, to which there's some merit, and for the Wall Street collapse of 08, for which there's no merit and no cause to blame him personally. That's what the media did. But now the media was toasting him just the last few days. Why? In promoting his book, George W. Bush made it clear that for the second time, he and wife Laura did not vote for Donald Trump for president. He revealed that he wrote in the name of his Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, who subsequently said she would have never accepted the presidency if she was elected to it. In addition, he went on to criticize the Republican Party in the Trump era, saying that too many of its members have grown, and I quote, isolationist, protectionist, and to a degree, nativist. He did say there were Republicans who opposed this point of view. Well, it's Bravo Bush, and the media has hosted him on everything from the cover of People magazine to the Jimmy Kimmel Show. One thing it should be pointed out about the media is that there is a habit of people that they condemned being rehabilitated. And a good example of this, I recall, 1964 Republican presidential nominee Barry Goldwater, vilified as being certifiably nuts, unfit to be president, and an extremist when he ran for president. Years later, he was hailed as a wise statesman and an elderly man who should be listened to as the voice of experience. Why? He was criticizing fellow conservatives. Bush is following in the same path.
John, the passing of former Vice President Walter Mondale this week, and there's a history there with the current president.
Exactly. It's a bit unusual to find someone who lost 49 of 50 states carrying the District of Columbia and his native Minnesota hailed as an influential and far-reaching figure in the Democratic Party. But that's what Joe Biden did. He recalled coming to the United States Senate in 1973 and said Walter Mondale and his wife Joan were the first to welcome him there. He recalled the championship of the Minnesota senator on civil rights, the environment, and the cause of feeding hungry Americans, all of which he expressed great passion for. And he noted that Mondale went on to be vice president under Jimmy Carter and finally got a crack at the top office himself in 1988. He was not going to beat Ronald Reagan, but as President Biden noted, he blazed a trail by becoming the first presidential candidate in history to name a woman as his running mate, the late Congresswoman Geraldine Ferraro of New York. And as the president also pointed out, Walter Mondale was quite happy to see Kamala Harris finally achieve the goal that started with the selection of Congresswoman Ferraro. The passing of Walter Mondale is noted by someone who has taken his philosophy finally to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and that's Joe Biden.
John Gizzi, White House correspondent, chief political columnist at Newsmax.com. Follow him on Twitter, at John Gizzi. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Stay well this weekend.
7:18, Saturday morning update. We've got Cheryl Atkinson next, then Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer and KT McFarland on the way. But first, Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In Roslyn, watch out for accident activity on 29 Lee Highway at Lynn Street. Watch out for lane closures there. In the district in southwest, eastbound on the freeway near the 3rd Street Tunnel, look out for lane closures and some road work, especially on that ramp. And also in the district in southwest, 6th Street is still closed between D Street and Maryland Avenue for water main repairs. In Loudoun County, you will still find some accident activity affecting Sterling Boulevard in both directions between Shaw Road and Glen Drive. At last check, all lanes are still blocked. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
A little bit on the chilly side this morning, but temperatures will warm up into the 60s this afternoon, thinking mid to upper 60s. Clouds, they will be on the increase through the day, and rain will become likely as we head towards the late afternoon and evening. Now, rain will continue to be likely overnight tonight, lows back into the 50s and 40s across the region. For your Sunday, rain should exit, and skies should clear by early tomorrow morning. We'll call it partly cloudy by tomorrow afternoon. Breezy at times, winds upwards of 30 miles per hour, high temperatures in the upper 60s. I'm 7 News meteorologist Alex at the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
39 degrees in the nation's capital at 719 on WMAL.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
Saturday morning update on WMAL. We're glad you've joined us this spring weekend. And Cheryl Atkinson is with us. She is the host of Full Measure. That's tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock on ABC 7. Cheryl, good morning.
Good morning.
A lot of confusion from the CDC over the past year. Misinformation is out, and then sometimes it never gets corrected, and then it's even further confusing. And around a month or so ago, you had exposed some misinformation on the CDC site. You've gone back and investigated that. What did you find?
Well, I think this is critically important, Rick, because public health officials really need our trust, you know, and need people to understand what they're saying is factually based. And they don't seem to understand that when they put out disinformation, you know, it makes everybody wonder if other things they're saying is true. That's why it's so important they correct when they're caught doing something like this. So the story I did a couple months back was recordings that a congressman made after catching CDC, and they admitted in these recordings, falsely stating to medical doctors and on their website, all of their expert scientists said, COVID-19 vaccines were effective for people who've already had coronavirus, according to the studies. Well, the studies didn't show that at all, quite the opposite. So, you know, there's this big exchange with a congressman calling them on it, them admitting it, promising to change. So I wanted to know what happened after they, you know, put this disinformation out. And one reason it's important, when there weren't enough vaccines, people who had already had coronavirus were lining up and getting vaccines in place of people who really needed the vaccines, like elderly people who were at high risk and hadn't had coronavirus. So that's one reason it's very important. So this week on my program, I revisit whatever became of that since they were exposed for the disinformation, which they admitted, and come to find out really nothing. As far as I know, the disinformation is still on the website. Nobody's been held accountable. They haven't done, to my knowledge, an investigation. They certainly haven't talked about it publicly. So we can't even say why they distributed this disinformation for several months despite having been called on it and despite having admitted it's wrong.
A lot of headlines are floating around out there about water wars in the West. You look into it this week. What is causing the problem, and what do they see as the solution?
Well, there's an increasing concern that I sort of dug into. I didn't understand much about it myself, over water becoming a commodity, becoming something that Wall Street investors can commoditize and invest in, much like oil, which some people are concerned would cause the price of water to go sky high. Water would be a limited resource, you know, at the hands of hedge fund operators and others who are seeking profits. Well, this is actually happening, and not just in the West. These sorts of debates that are going on and disputes really are going to be happening across the country. They are happening on the East Coast as well. But in the example we use in Arizona, a hedge fund is buying up farmland along the Colorado River and then selling the water rights to the Colorado River to move water for profit to people far away from the river. And it's never been done in this part of Arizona before to take water off the river and move it hundreds and hundreds of miles. So this deal is really confounding a lot of people. It's got a lot of public opposition, but the state has approved it. And it's just raising questions as to, you know, this hedge fund company has bought more plots of land. And if this sale goes through, I can imagine that other investors will see this as a potentially good investment.
Often you will focus on an individual who is making a big difference. And it's, you know, not somebody that's affiliated with a university or a huge company or something. It's just an individual making a difference. And you have a story on somebody that's making a difference in drug pricing?
Yeah, you know, I like to find interesting, quirky things that's not being widely reported. And something crossed my email somehow in the past year or so that I followed up on. And gosh, it reminds me of a story I did at CBS a long time ago. I didn't believe it at first. People probably know this now, but I certainly didn't, that when medications are unused, let's say you lost a loved one and you have really valuable medicine left from that person's illness and it's still blister packed and unused and unopened, you can't use it. In most states, they require you, and nursing homes do this across the country, to flush all that stuff down the drain, down the toilet. And it enters our water supply, by the way. We are getting birth control pills and antidepressants and all kinds of stuff. But that aside, there is a pharmacist in Tennessee who people would come to him with this medicine and say, can I donate it to someone who needs it? And he would say, not allowed to under the law. Well, he changed the law. He found a way to accept these medical donations. It's a fairly small program to begin with, but he's trying to expand it. And he's calling it Flip Your Script. And I think it's really a fascinating idea. It makes so much sense. And we will talk with him on Sunday about how he did this and what he's doing exactly.
And one thing I think that's important to consumers when it comes to your car or maybe getting a used car, and this is something I would have never thought this day and age with the technology and, you know, everything is measured and it's logged on a computer that has to do with your vehicle. But what about the odometer?
You know, that's what makes this story so interesting. I think that a lot of us knew in years gone by about odometer rollback fraud, because as we know, the less a car has been driven, the fewer miles, the more value usually that used car has. So people will roll back the miles and, you know, give it thousands of more dollars onto the value. Well, I thought like you did, there must be a way that that's all tracked and can't be done now. Well, Lisa Fletcher investigated this for us, did a consumer piece for Sunday. It's actually just as easy, if not easier, to roll back the numbers on a car now with today's technology. So she's going to show us how they do it and also talk about, you know, how this is costing consumers billions of dollars in value and still very much a thing.
That's tomorrow morning, Full Measure, ABC 7, 10 o'clock. Cheryl, as always, thank you very much and enjoy your weekend.
All right, you too.
7:26 Saturday morning update. We're going to talk with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer about the side of the climate plan that you're not seeing. That's coming up right after the 7:30 news. And then KT McFarland puts us all in perspective for us, the Democratic power grab. It's all coming up. Stay with us.
ALFM Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station. News now.
WMAL News at 7:30. Good morning, I'm Heather Curtis. New this hour, Indonesia's Navy says it found debris believed to be from a submarine that went missing Wednesday. The Navy's chief says they think the vessel with 53 crew members sunk and cracked open. The hope of finding survivors is now dashed. The Johnson & Johnson's vaccines going back into use.
The FDA and CDC lifted a pause on the vaccine following a thorough review amid reports of rare blood clots in some 15 women. Advisors to the CDC say the benefits of that single-dose COVID-19 shot still far outweigh the rare risk of blood clots. In fact, nearly 8 million Americans received the shot before that pause was ordered back.
Fox's Kevin Cork, Virginia's vaccine coordinator, says providers across the state can start putting that vaccine in arms again immediately. You can now hear the 911 call made by a black man in Spotsylvania County before he was shot and injured by a sheriff's deputy Wednesday. He tells the dispatcher to send someone quickly because he's going to kill his brother, who won't let him in his mom's room to get his car keys. The deputy's body camera footage was also released.
Show me your hands! Drop the gun!
He's got a gun to his head.
Drop the gun now! Stop walking towards me! Stop walking towards me! Stop! Stop!
An attorney representing Brown says that wasn't a gun, but rather a cordless house phone. He says the deputy was never threatened and should not have discharged his weapon. WMAL Sports, the Wizards beat the Thunder, the Nats lost to the Mets. Traffic and weather next. WMAL traffic, here's Michelle Murray in the Hadid Carpet Cleaning Traffic Center.
In the district, watch out for an accident now on reported on DC 295 northbound near Pennsylvania Avenue. Watch out for multiple lane closures and police direction through the accident scene. Also, you will still find crash activity on Lee Highway at Lynn Street in the Roslyn area. And in southwest, 6th Street is still closed between D Street and Maryland Avenue for water main repairs. Also, do watch out for some road work right now if you're traveling on 66 westbound between Route 29 and Centerville in the car rest area along the left side. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Storm Watch 7 forecast.
Clouds will be on the increase today. We will also have some mild temperatures starting into the 40s this morning on the chilly side, but into the 60s as we head towards the afternoon. We'll call it mid to upper 60s for highs. As we head towards the afternoon, 4 or 5 o'clock, rain will overspread the region from southwest to northeast. Rain will be likely overnight, half inch to an inch possible. Lows mainly into the 40s. As we head towards your Sunday, becoming partly cloudy and breezy, high temperatures in the upper 60s. I'm 7 News meteorologist Alex Liggett at the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
I'm Heather Curtis on 105.9 FM, Washington's Mall, WMAL.
It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. He is the author of Operation Dark Heart and the president of the London Center for Policy Research. Tony, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rick. Always great to join you.
Great to have you with us.
Yeah.
And we've seen the Biden climate plan, which has come out this week, and the climate summit that was
right.
held with world leaders. And I got to thinking, how does this impact the military? How does it impact our vehicles, our tanks, our Humvees, our stealth bombers, our F-15s? Help us put this in perspective.
Yeah, so as some of the audience probably knows, I actually do have a degree in environmental studies. And this is something I do actually study very seriously. And I'll just put it the bottom line up front. It's a fraud. All of this is one big fraud. While, you know, there may or may not be man-made impact on the environment, CO2, this big boogeyman, carbon dioxide is something you and I are exhaling as we speak right now as part of the gas exchange, which drives the life on Earth. And people like John Kerry came out this past week and said, we're going to eliminate all CO2 in the atmosphere is beyond insane. But that's that they actually said that. And that's what they're all trying to do. They're all saying carbon's bad. We're going to die. And it's just simply a fiction. So I'd like to break it down just a little bit for people to understand better how this has become a big industry that the Democrats are now promoting. There are things that can be done regarding renewables, which make perfect sense. The idea of building on solar, as solar develops and becomes more mature, I'm still skeptical of wind because of the front and back investment that has to be made regarding building and removing these big old windmills. But with that said, none of those things are reliable when it comes time for something to be needed. That is to say that the wind does not always blow, the sun does not always shine. And these are the things which I think people have tended to not look at. If you go to an actual green conference where you look at the technology, the one thing that's a constant, if you go talk to every individual at these things, at the booth selling the technology, the one common denominator that they will all tell you, if they're honest, is, none of that is possible. None of that can be sustained without something called without fossil fuel. Fossil fuel is reliable, it's available, and that's what's driving our economy. One of the big buzzwords right now, Rick, is biomass. Oh, yeah, we want to replace all these things with biomass. Biomass is trees. And if you want to go back to living life as we did in the 19th century, that's what we did. We deforested. Killed all sorts of trees down. The honest answer is, if you took all the biomass in the country and burned it, it would give us energy for 1 week. It's not the answer, but folks on the left want to make you think it is. Also, regarding a Prius, people see Priuses driving around. The actual elements which go into that require huge amounts of rare earth from foreign lands like Africa, where you have slave labor trying to get you those rare earths to go into the battery and other components. And then, Rick, when you make batteries, when you make solar panels, you take carbon, coal, and you take things like quartz, and you melt it at a very high temperature to create certain things like solar panels. And you need something called coal to burn the whole thing. So what I'm trying to illustrate here is that everything we're being told regarding this green, you know, they keep saying, oh, there's going to be cheap power from renewable energy. It's not. It's a lie. It's not cheap. It's not renewable. It's not available easily. because it's dependent on things that we cannot control, such as wind and other things, wind and solar. In the end, all the power generated for electric cars for batteries comes from mostly, again, fossil fuel. So any idea that we're going to convert over this for the military is beyond insane, because the military has to have things which happen which are available rapidly, which run reliably, and are available at any time necessary to conduct a military operation. Green energy. Now, all the elements I just went through are not dependable. They cannot be relied upon during a set of combat missions or operations. And that's why the military has never gone to them. And now they're being pushed to accept things like biodiesel and all these other things, which, simply put, are not reliable as well. The biodiesel is not available in enough quantities that would be necessary to run a Navy, a fleet of vessels. And, again, all the ideas of wind and solar, those things all depend on fossil fuel. So I'm just telling you, I'm asking your audience, we've got a very smart audience. Just go check for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Go do your own independent research. But the whole idea behind all of this, in the larger circumstances, insane, is dangerous if you try to apply all this to a military set of challenges.
Well, when I listen to some of the things that our climate czar, John Kerry, says, it concerns me greatly. And then I think of where would we be if we're starting to go green in the military and with weaponry and things, while China, Russia, North Korea, Iran, they're sticking with the fossil fuels. What does that mean in terms of our ability to, combat them?
Well, that's, again, one of the dangers, because, again, if you look at the accords, if you look at the rhetoric said yesterday, the nations like China and Russia are going to sign up and say nice things at the accord. But I'm telling you, Russia has a lot of fuel, and they're going to use it. They're going to use it for their benefit, the same as China. Two of the largest, and this is going to be, you're going to think this is ironic, two of the largest coal-using nations on the planet are China, because they have a huge resource. And, by the way, they're not even supposed to start kicking back and rolling that back until 2030 if they join the accord. So it's kind of like, yeah, they get a free pass. I'm telling you, they'll never sign up to it. They're never going to degrade their economy or their military for purposes of appeasing some off-the-cuff idea of green. And the other country which I'm going to mention, and people are going to be surprised, is Germany. Germany is touted as this big, converter over. They're not. They still are the largest user of coal because they have the resource and use it in Europe. So I'm just telling you, Rick, people need to look past this propaganda and look at what countries are going to do to support their own economy, their own people, and their own military, because it's a lot different than what is being portrayed by the Biden administration.
Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, and you can check out his Thought to Action podcast at thelondoncenter.org. Tony, thank you as always.
Oh, thank you, Rick.
Our pleasure. 7:45 Saturday morning update. KT McFarland coming up next, but first, Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In the district, there is a serious accident in Southeast that has all lanes closed northbound on DC 295 just north of Pennsylvania Avenue. All traffic right now is being detoured onto eastbound Pennsylvania Avenue, so you may want to avoid this area for the time being. Also, watch out for an accident now reported on eastbound 66 east of 123, and that is blocking the right lane. And you will still find some accident activity on Lee Highway at Lynn Street in Roslyn. Now from GarageRepair.com, the WMAL Stormwatch 7 forecast.
A little bit on the chilly side this morning, but temperatures will warm up into the 60s this afternoon, thinking mid to upper 60s. Clouds, they will be on the increase through the day, and rain will become likely as we head towards the late afternoon and evening. Now, rain will continue to be likely overnight tonight, lows back into the 50s and 40s across the region. For your Sunday, rain should exit and skies should clear by early tomorrow morning. We'll call it partly cloudy by tomorrow afternoon. Breezy at times, winds upwards of 30 miles per hour, high temperatures in the upper 60s. I'm 7 News meteorologist Alex Sliga at the Stormwatch 7 Weather Center.
Now 41 degrees in the nation's capital, 7:46 on WMAL. It's the Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. We are joined by KT McFarland. She was President Trump's first national security advisor, and she is the author of Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. KT, good morning.
It's a pleasure to be with you, as ever.
Well, first off, KT, I want to ask you about what you see in these Democratic efforts, number one, there is the effort in the House of Representatives to change the balance on the Supreme Court, to change the balance in the United States Senate. And if you look at Biden's climate plan, the Wall Street Journal says, quote, he's committing the U.S. to a far-fetched CO2 emissions goal without a vote of Congress. His pledge tees up sweeping new government controls over the economy of the kind you might see in one of Mr. Xi Jinping's five-year plans. Mr. Biden now has a 10-year version of central economic planning. And I know this is something you touched on in the book.
Yeah, you know, it's amazing how the United States, I write about this at great length in my book, in the final part of it, because trying to make sense of what are we going through now, where we seem to have rebellions on the left and on the right, and I think we're going through a period of enormous creative destruction. And America, and that's what makes us great. We do it every 40 years. It's always nasty. It's always really painful. There's a lot of collateral damage. But in the end, we reinvent ourselves. And I think that's what's happening now, if you take the big picture look. And you know, we have a status quo isn't working for the majority of the American people. The Republican and Democrat parties, the political leadership is pretty stale. And so what's happened is you have a rebellion on the left, which is the Green New Deal and the progressive socialists and the single-party rule people, who right now control Congress and, frankly, the White House. And on the other side, you have the majority of the American people who represent the working and middle classes, and they're taking things in a different direction. They want America first. They want populism. So that's the contrast we're having right now. I think it works out well in the end for people like me and you, because there are a lot more people in the middle class and the working class than there are in the expert class and the pro-socialist class. But that's what we're going through now. And the Democrats' efforts in Congress to vote for, you know, statehood for D.C., what, 700,000 people are going to get two senators? And the 700,000 people all happen to work for the federal government? Well, that's ripped from the pages of the Hunger Games, right, where the Capitol is going to dictate to the majority, you know, the vast majority of the population. It doesn't work, and it won't work for long. And then their efforts to pack the Supreme Court to make it a Democrat-controlled Supreme Court. And now, as you point out, and the Wall Street Journal says, Biden's plan to make the Democrats control the American economy and energy industry. This is not going to end well for these guys. It'll look really good for about 18 months because the country will be on a sugar high with all this spending. But eventually it comes crashing down. And single-party rule doesn't work. It has never worked throughout history because at the end of the day, the single party, and in the case of the Democrats, they say it was the experts are in charge, the scientists are in charge, but the experts have been proven wrong again and again and again. So the value of democracy is that we don't like the rulers, we toss them out and get new people. And the Democrats want to prevent that from happening, but at the end of the day, you know, think of the Hunger Games, the Capitol, the people in the Capitol tried to control everybody else. It just didn't work. They eventually got tossed out.
Well, you referenced the expert class, and there have been a number of failures of the so-called expert class.
Yeah, you know, there was an interesting article, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal a couple of months ago, where it said that this is the age of the failure of the experts. And so think about it. The experts, for the last 20 years, the experts have told us, okay, we've got to go into Iraq, weapons of mass destruction, Al-Qaeda, we've got a nation build in Afghanistan. Well, the experts were all horribly wrong. It cost us trillions of dollars and tens, if not hundreds of thousands of American fatalities. The experts said, I mean, Obama, when he was campaigning for president, he said, peak oil, we're going to run out of oil. That's why we have to go to alternative fuels. Well, it turns out we have plenty of oil. We have staggering overabundance of oil and natural gas, especially in the United States, with fracking. So so-called experts were wrong on that. The experts are saying high taxation, that's what's going to prime the pump of the American economy and get everybody working again and economic growth. Well, you know, look, in the history of the world, spending and borrowing has never been the road to prosperity. So the high taxation they're proposing, that's going to be, it's going to result in low economic growth, et cetera. I mean, to me, Dr. Fauci, who I used to respect quite a bit, but I think he's the perfect example of the expert class gotten it wrong. At the very beginning, he said, oh, masks don't work. And then now he says, masks
do work. We're two of them, and we're in them forever. He said, you know, the vaccine, it's going to take us years to get to a vaccine. Well, within a year, we had three, probably four vaccines, and we have cures. He and the expert said, oh, we'll never get to herd immunity. It's going to be with us forever. Well, we have herd immunity now. Then the experts just said, oh, I got to lock down. No schools. We're not going to have kids go to school. We're not going to have people working. Everybody's going to be locked in their basement. Oops. It turns out that states like Florida and Texas and the free states, they have not only have now plummeting numbers of the spread of the infatality of the pandemic, but they have thriving economies. While the lockdown states, the five lockdown states, you know, New York, California, Michigan, et cetera, they're just doing dismally. They've got to be bailed out by the federal government, which, by the way, needs bailing out by people like the Chinese. So this is not going to end well for these guys, although I think it's miserable now. The beauty of this, though, is that the American system, we do reinvent ourselves. And that's why we're, I think that is the heart of American exceptionalism. You know, other countries in the history of the world, other empires, have been great because they've been wealthy, they've been militarily powerful, they've been all those things. They've even been great democracies. But the difference is that in America, we reinvent ourselves, and our founding fathers understood this. They knew the nature of government was to always want more and more power and to collect more and more money and then probably screw it up. And so they gave us the ability to have peaceful revolutions. And that's why we're unique, because we do reinvent ourselves. And that's what we're in the process of doing now. But it's painful. And it's a creative destruction, but out of creative destruction becomes creation. So I think it's great.
We've got about 2 minutes left. We saw President Biden's climate summit this week. The Wall Street Journal called it a climate pep rally. And Biden told the leaders that emissions in the U.S. and Europe have been falling since 2005. But what he didn't mention was the rising emissions from China, which have swamped the declines in the U.S. and Europe. Now, you dealt with China and Russia. We saw President Biden there with Xi Jinping and Vladimir Putin. Can Joe Biden trust the Chinese and the Russians to follow through on anything they quote-unquote commit to in a pep talk like this?
No. And I think that the tragedy of this is that with the very best of intentions, Biden and his supporters think, well, we've got to save the planet. They think that the planet's over in a decade or so. And so, therefore, climate issues, global warming, climate change, all that has become their new religion. And it's more important than American jobs. It's more important than the American economy. To them, it's more important than America's place in the world. It's more important than America's independence. And they're so sort of zealous about it. And like all zealots, they go a little nuts. The zealots have now taken over this whole issue to the point where it's the single most important thing in Washington's mind, right, in the official ruling class, the so-called expert class. The problem is that when Biden says American emissions have been falling, he leaves out the most important part. The reason they're falling is because American companies, because of fracking and the availability of cheap natural gas, cheap, accessible, and reliable natural gas, American energy manufacturers, the people who make the plants that make the electricity, they've switched from coal and oil to natural gas, and that is what's cut our emissions. Hmm. Now, by saying we're not going to have natural gas, we're going to regulate that to the point we don't have fracking. Well, you know, what you're going to do is you're going to push emissions way up because we're going to have to borrow somebody else's stuff. I recently had a great conversation with somebody who said that in China, they build these great plants with the filters, but then once they've been inspected, they turn the filters off, and that's one of the reasons they're such polluters.
To be continued. K.T. McFarland, author of Revolution, Trump, Washington, and We the People. Thank you so much, K.T.
Honor and a pleasure.
Thank you so much. And that's it for the Saturday morning update. Garden Sense follows the 8 o'clock news.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington. Now, more than ever, depend on 105.9 FM WMAL, a Cumulus station.